Welcome to Adoption as a Choice, where you will hear from those with personal stories and industry experts all the facts and myths surrounding adoption. Whether you are thinking about adoption for your family or your child, be sure you are making the loving choice for all concerned. Let Mickey and her guest experts help you choose the right path. Now, here is your host, Mickey Shepherd.
Hey, everybody. This is Mickey Shepherd. Welcome to another edition of Adoption as a Choice. I'm your host. I'm also a speaker and the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. Hope you'll check it out. You can check it out on my website. It's at www.adoptionasachoice.com. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Daniel Nurbis, and he is the president of Nightlight Christian Adoptions, which is also the home of the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program, and we are going to talk more about that today. He's worked as a pastor, professional counselor, adjunct professor of biblical studies, and he's a published author of 4 books and numerous articles. He has a PhD and is the father of 6 children, 3 of whom are adopted. So Dan, welcome. So glad you could be here today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So you yourself adopted. So you have 3 children and then you adopted 3, or was it a mix and match? How did that all work out for you?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix and match. We have 3 biological kids and we adopted 2 children from foster care. One when she was 2, the other when he was 7. We adopted a girl from the nation of Kyrgyzstan when she was 5.
Wow. And how? What are their ages?
Well, now our son is 29. Our daughter from foster care is 21. And then the girl from Kyrgyzstan is 11.
Oh, wow. Lots of different experiences going on in your house.
That's true.
Okay. So you've been with Nightlight for how long?
10 years.
10 years. And overall, from what I can tell from your website, it looks like you have many adoption programs. You want to just go through them?
What the different ones are? We do every type of adoption. We do inter-country adoption from about 20 countries. But the biggest at the moment are Colombia, Bulgaria, and Ukraine, assuming it reopens. It sounds like it is, thank God, and China when they do reopen. We also have domestic infant placements. We've been doing that for 62 years, started in Southern California. And we have a foster program in most of the states where we operate. So some combination between foster and foster to adopt. And then, of course, we have the Snowflakes Embryo Adoption Program, which we began in 1997 and are nearing 1,000 babies born through that program.
That is so exciting. For our audience who don't know, what exactly is a snowflake embryo adoption?
Snowflakes embryo adoption is when someone has spare or leftover embryos from their own IVF in vitro cycle. They usually create more embryos than they need. These embryos go into frozen storage, and then the couple determines that they're done building their family. They've had the 2 or 3 children that they want, and they still have embryos in frozen storage. They feel a sense of commitment and importance of giving those embryos a chance at life. Their other option is to destroy the embryos. So the couples, with this conviction that life begins at conception, will make the most difficult call they've probably ever made in their life, which is to our agency to let someone else raise their genetic children. But they do it because they're convinced that those embryos deserve a chance at life. So then an adoptive family who may have called about domestic infant placement learns about our Snowflakes program, where they can actually adopt even younger. They can adopt the embryos and have a frozen embryo transfer, where that embryo gets transferred into the prospective adoptive mother, and they'll give birth to their adopted child.
That's amazing. I mean, I know when we were trying to have a baby, we wanted to start a family and it wasn't happening, and we did adopt. We adopted our son at birth. But the thought of being able to be pregnant when you couldn't, to me, just sounds like a miracle happening.
It is a miracle. Sometimes we'll be at an exhibit, like at a convention about adoption, or even a church, and we'll have our brochures out, and people will come up and they'll assume that we do domestic placement as well as international. And then we'll tell them about embryo adoption. And every time I do this, there's always some prospective adoptive mom who starts to cry and says, "This is what I've been looking for. This is what I want." And then the tears of happiness that she has found her dream come true sometimes give way to a little bit of anger. Why didn't my doctor tell me about this? Why didn't I know about this?
True. Now you're in how many states? Because you're not
we
in all of them, right?
In 10 states. And we serve people nationwide with all of our programs, except foster care. That always has to be done at the local level.
Right, right. So you're right. It's not something everybody knows about. And yet what a wonderful world to be able to open up as you get the word out.
People don't know about it is that fertility doctors, they don't really make any money on frozen embryo transfers, which is the procedure that's required for Snowflake's adoption. Mm-hmm. So there's really no financial incentive for a fertility specialist to explain this option to their patients, because they can get a lot more business, you know, and make a lot more revenue from an in vitro cycle rather than from a frozen embryo transfer, which is what would be required with our program.
How sad is that? That what happened to do no harm, you know? Yeah. Makes you wonder.
There are some. There's a couple very pro-life fertility specialists who do promote our program. Some of them do IVF, others don't. And some are really committed to seeing every embryo rescued and every embryo get a chance at life. And so there's some very pro-life reproductive endocrinologists who do promote our program, a handful.
Now, about how many embryos are frozen?
You know, Nightlight actually did a study on that a couple of years ago, and we determined it was about 1.6 million. I actually went to a embryo storage bank last week in Texas, and it was pretty fascinating. I looked at a tank about the size of a refrigerator, and inside were 20,000 embryos.
Wow.
So, they are stored in a few dozen facilities for the most part throughout the country, but there's well over a million.
That's amazing. And what an opportunity, well over a million babies, especially in a country where we're not keeping up, replenishing our life, you know, so that would be important. Now, one of the things that I think people would ask is, why is it called an adoption?
Okay, well, the reason we call embryo adoption instead of donation, because there's people in the medical community who insist that this is not an adoption, it's only a donation, but it is an adoption. And the reason is we implement the three important aspects of social services into this. We have a home study, we do matching with clinical workers, and we have an open relationship where the embryo donors know who the embryo adopters are. They communicate with each other. They find out what the outcome is. They share pictures and stories. So it's an open adoption. Now, if it were embryo donation, you wouldn't have a home study.
Right.
You wouldn't have a real matching process, and you wouldn't have openness. So we've applied the best practices of adoption social work to the embryo donation process.
Fabulous. Now, they're open adoptions. And once, let's say the embryo has now been born, do they all stay in touch or do they move on?
We have an openness agreement that has minimal levels of openness guaranteed. The embryo donors typically want an update at least annually for the first few years. Mm-hmm. So our families do comply with that. They believe in it. They want to comply with it. Now, we have a handful, very small number of embryo donors who don't really want to know the outcome. So we honor that. We have a few where they don't want to know each other's true identities, but they still communicate through the agency. So we call that a semi-open adoption. You communicate, but you don't have direct access to one another. But the vast majority of our clients have an open adoption where they continue to communicate for years on and ongoing.
Fabulous. One question that just popped in my head is the embryo is basically implanted in the adoptive mom.
That's right.
Okay. Is there a percentage that don't make it full term?
Yes. About half of the frozen embryo transfers that are done nowadays result in a birth. Now, the percentages have been increasing quite a bit over the last few years. And for that reason, the number of embryos people are creating is decreasing. But the number of people doing IVF is increasing. So even though people are making fewer of them, more people are making them. So the number in storage is increasing. Now, with each embryo transfer, typically if someone's under 40, they might only have one embryo transferred. And if they're over 40, they might have two. So that's a lot different than what it was, you know, back in the days of Octomom, where they were transferring eight embryos or more. And there were always doctors who felt uncomfortable with doing that number. But yeah, there's about a 50% chance on each embryo transfer that you're going to have a live birth. Now, interesting statistic is that the success rate of a frozen embryo transfer is actually higher when it's an embryo adoption than when it's a couple's own embryo.
Really?
And the simple reason for that is that every embryo we have has already proven viable, because every embryo we have came from a family who already had biological children from these embryos and are done building their family. Whereas people who use their own embryos, they haven't proved viable yet. There are some couples who never have a viable embryo. So all of ours have proved to result in birth.
Wow. That's got to be comforting to the adoptive parents. Just their chances are higher that everything's going to work out okay. Right. This is scary. No.
Why we use the word snowflakes at all?
Yes, please.
And we use the word snowflakes because, like snowflakes, these embryos are tiny, frozen, unique, and a gift from above.
That makes sense. New meaning to snowflake. It really does. Beautiful meaning.
A little more positive image for snowflake than the way it's getting used in the media nowadays.
You've got it. That's what I was, first time I heard that, I thought, okay. Let's see. Now, what is the oldest, if you know, the oldest frozen embryo?
I believe it's 21 years that an embryo has resulted in a birth. So 21-year-old embryos have resulted in live birth. Are there embryos that are older than that? Yes, not all of them are currently available for embryo adoption. So if you're asking what our oldest is, that because some people have embryos in storage and have not offered them for adoption. Obviously, that's most people's embryos are just sitting in storage. But we have some embryos that are 20 years old that are still in need of a home.
Amazing. Now, the people that haven't offered them, is it because they're still thinking they might want to have another child, or they've forgotten?
Yeah, that's a good question. The majority of people who have embryos in storage have no plan, because making a plan is too difficult to do. It's just too emotional, too difficult. It's a problem that can be saved till next year, but doesn't have to be solved today. So their options are to destroy the embryos, donate them to science, or give them to an adoptive couple. But the giving them to an adoptive couple is a difficult decision. Destroying them is difficult. So doing nothing is
easier. The
easiest thing to do today. But of course, that means that there is a problem that looms on the horizon when people punt this decision down the road. And then we start to see those who created these embryos, they get divorced or they die because they get old. And then they leave this problem either to lawyers or to their children to decide what to do with these embryos. So we really would like people to make decisions about their embryos much sooner than death or divorce. And there are some countries that have mandatory disposition laws that you have to discard your embryos after 10 years of storage.
Oh, really?
We don't want that because we don't want embryos forced into destruction. Right. On the other hand, we do want people to be forced to make a decision mm-hmm. rather than to just put this on hold. I actually testified at the Texas state legislature about a law that did pass on requiring doctors to help and educate and kind of force patients to make a decision, not which decision to make, but make a decision rather than do nothing.
That makes sense. I was going to ask you, is it anything like just like many people who want to have a family wouldn't know about the availability of snowflake embryo adoption? Are some of these families not aware that's an avenue for them?
You know, we run the Snowflakes program and we get 30 inquiries per day about adoption. And of those, less than a quarter have ever heard of Snowflakes. The majority of them have never heard of it. So the people calling us about domestic infant adoption right. simply haven't heard of Snowflakes before. So priority number one is for us to educate every single person who calls about Snowflakes and then just give them a chance to say yes or no. Some of them say, well, I'm not a candidate because I had a hysterectomy. Okay, then we'll have you in our domestic program. But others say, well, I've never heard of this. I want some more information.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. I think, you know, when you're learning about something, the more education you can get, the better off you are, whether it's to adopt domestically or to adopt an embryo, which right. is fascinating. When I'm going to take a little bit of a break in a little while. Before we go, I just want to start thinking in terms of why anyone would choose the Snowflake program instead of other forms of artificial insemination, artificial reproductive programs. So that's something I want to ask you when we come back from our break. And then lastly, do you think that the more people who hear about this, the more embryos will be unfrozen?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We've been talking to Daniel Nurbis from the Snowflake program, as well as Nightlight Christian Adoption. And we'll be back in just a little bit and continue our conversation about this really fascinating and exciting technology that sees be available for people who want to start a family. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
In a heartbeat, the miracle of a family that was meant to be by Mickey Shepherd is a delightful true story spanning several generations of families born out of love. Learn that it doesn't take biology to create a family. Understand that adoption is always a choice. And realize that the law of attraction is constantly at work. Pick up a copy on Amazon today.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Need a speaker for an upcoming event? Mickey Shepherd is ready to speak up. Mickey is the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. She'll dispel the myths surrounding adoption and teach her audience why it doesn't take biology to create a family. Visit MickeyShepherdAuthor.com or call 845-733-8077 to book Mickey today.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You're listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. If you have questions for Mickey or her guest, you can join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now, back to the show. Here again is Mickey Shepherd.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We've been talking to Dan Nervous from Nightlight Christian Adoption, and we've primarily been talking about the Snowflake Embryo Adoption Program, because just like this show is all about raising awareness about adoption, they're raising awareness about the fact that there are a million, at least, frozen embryos, and not all of them are available, and a lot of people don't even know it exists for people who are looking to start a family. So I asked you to think about why people choose the Snowflake program instead of artificial reproductive program.
Well, obviously the first reason people choose Snowflakes is to experience childbirth.
Right.
So that's why they choose Snowflakes instead of domestic adoption, is that they want to experience pregnancy. They choose the Snowflakes program instead of other ART or artificial reproductive technology, first because some people are uncomfortable with the disparity of a child who's from donor egg or donor sperm, where then the couple kind of lives with this truth that the child is half genetically related to them. Now, some people are comfortable with that truth, but other people are not comfortable with that disparity. So rather than have a child who's half genetically related to them through sperm or egg donation, they prefer to have a child who's not related to them at all through embryo donation. There's sometimes a theological aspect to this. It was kind of worded by Focus on the Family and other ethicists when our program first began 20 years ago, as the idea of not breaking the marriage bed, that the birth of a child is either adopted from another couple or from the couple fully genetic, but not half genetically related. Another reason people choose this is their age. If a woman is over 40 years old, she may choose embryo adoption instead of egg retrieval because she may be concerned about the quality of her own eggs. So once people are at that 40-year-old mark, embryo adoption becomes a little bit more attractive than egg retrieval. And it also, of course, increases the chances of success because the embryos that we're using were made by couples who were in their 20s, sometimes early 30s. So your chances of success are greater than egg retrieval when you're in your 40s. Another reason is the couple may have a genetic disorder they don't want to pass on. So the couple may choose not to use their own egg or their own sperm because they fear that if they do, there will be a hereditary disorder. And so adoption becomes more attractive to them, but they still want to experience pregnancy. And lastly, people do this to rescue embryos. We always have a handful of couples who do not have a fertility problem. They may have five children in the home and don't have a fertility issue, but they know, they've heard about our program. They know there's embryos in frozen storage and they want to give these embryos a chance of life. So they'll do it to rescue an embryo.
That's amazing. That's amazing. The now it says that it's a lower cost type of adoption. How is that without...
Okay, well, certainly back to your question on why would anyone do this instead of artificial reproductive technology, cost is probably right at the top and why they would choose this instead of other types of adoptions. The cost for the embryo program at Nightlight, which is called Snowflakes, is $9,000. So our domestic fee is significantly higher because of the labor intensive work of working with birth mothers and having birth mother expenses at $30,000. And then, of course, a couple who goes through IVF or in vitro, the last study I read showed that couples will spend $100,000 on IVF before achieving a successful childbirth.
Wow.
So for $9,000, the embryo adoption program is quite a deal. Now, you do incur a couple other costs that are a little bit less than that. In the program, there's a home study requirement. Sometimes we call it a Snowflake family evaluation. If we do that, the fee is $1,500. And then there's the frozen embryo transfer. And that could be done at any of our partner clinics throughout the country. And the average cost for a frozen embryo transfer is about $4,000.
Now, when they have the transfer, and I think you touched on this earlier, but just to clarify, is it usually more than one embryo? Do they usually choose?
Under 40, they'll typically have one embryo. And if they're over 40, they'll have two.
Okay.
Sometimes there may, it may be two or three, kind of depends on the doctor. Now, as far as the embryo sets that we have, people always ask, how many embryos do I get? With our program, you are not buying an embryo, a single embryo. And because we have implemented the best practices of social work, one of those best practices is keeping siblings together, separate siblings. Now, we consider embryos siblings because embryos are people.
Right.
So the answer to how many embryos you get is it's the number of embryos that the couple created, the number of siblings that there are. So if the embryo set from the couple who created them is five, then you get five embryos. If the couple only has one remaining embryo, then you get one embryo. So it, you're adopting a sibling set. Now, obviously, you're not going to have all five transferred at once.
Right.
So we're looking for people who are going to do a reasonable number of transfers and want the, you know, if they are, if they're going to receive five embryos, do they plan on having three frozen embryo transfers and potentially having three to five children? Yes. If the answer is yes, then we'll send them an embryo set of five.
Wow. That's amazing. It is. What is the Open Hearts program?
We have some embryos that are difficult to place. And for those embryos that are difficult to place, we reduce our fees in half. And an example of a difficult to place embryo would, first of all, be if it's a single embryo. Because a lot of people say, I'm concerned about the chances of success with only adopting one embryo. Now, if we only have one embryo, we're always going to have a backup family in mind. We're not going to ship a second family's embryos for the same day, for the same, you know, procedure on the same scheduled day.
Right.
But we will match you with a second family if you're only getting one embryo, just so we know, okay, if this doesn't work out, are we going to match you for free and quickly with a second embryo? And yes, we will. But another reason embryos may be difficult to place is if they've been rated poor embryo quality by an embryologist. Other reasons would include the age of the embryo, like you were asking, if it's 20 years old,
some
people have a hard time accepting an embryo that's that old. If there is a psychological or mental disorder in the family history. So for instance, if schizophrenia occurred in the embryo donor's grandmother, or aunt or uncle, or even the embryo donor themselves, then we may have difficulty finding an adoptive family who's concerned about the possible hereditary nature of those disorders.
That makes sense. I can see that. It's just continually amazing. But let's see. It says, I'm looking at all the information that's on your website because it's someplace I really think our listeners should go and visit. There's a lot of information there. But
GoFlakes.org.
Well, it says nearly 1,600 families have donated their remaining embryos. And as you said before, there's so many embryos. If they're putting that off constantly because it's an easier thing to do rather than make a decision, and you kind of answered a question I was going to ask you, is what happens when people die? Is it's in their wills? And I don't know, is it? Have you experienced that scenario?
We have experienced the death of the donors, but not through the disposition in a will. So it's happened in the middle of the donation process while we've had custody of the embryos, but not so late as after their will.
Oh, okay.
But I do think that starting with the church or with pastors, because there's a pro-life nature to this, there should be a message at least once a year coming from the churches that where you address the congregation with this reality, this recognition, that maybe as many as one in 10 of the couples in that church have embryos in storage. And those couples have this ongoing guilt that they have an unresolved issue. They know that they have their children in frozen storage, and they know that they're living human beings because they look at their children who were born from those embryos.
Right.
And that's a daily reminder yes, these are humans, and yes, I need to do something about this. So they have guilt about this unresolved issue. And I think pastors ought to at least once a year say to the couples in their church who have embryos in storage, you can do something about this. You can make a decision. You can offer them to another couple, make their dreams come true, solve your guilt, and give an embryo a chance at life.
That makes so much sense. And I agree, if there's a way to just keep getting the message out so people who, you know, I mean, it's human nature to try not to make a difficult decision. But I think the more they hear about it and the more they realize it's a difficult decision, but you could be helping a dream come true.
Yeah. And if there's over a million embryos in frozen storage, there aren't a million available for adoption yet because right. that phone call hasn't occurred. So only a few thousand have decided to place them for adoption. And so we need a million more families who have them in storage to say, we're ready to make that decision.
So other than trying to get the word out through churches, is there an outreach program that your organization does?
Well, our biggest partner since the beginning that has made our program work has been Focus on the Family, where they, every year or two, will just remind people about this option. And it's a good target audience because these are listeners who are interested in, who believe in life at conception, which means we're going to have a greater chance that they're going to say yes to this rather than what might seem like the simpler option of discarding the embryos. So that's one. We also do online advertising on social media and on search engines where we advertise both embryo donation and embryo adoption.
Oh, okay. Do you have like families do like testimonials or something like that after they've given birth?
We do. The biggest testimonial, of course, is when the families get to meet each other. Mm-hmm. So this July, we're having a 25th anniversary of the Snowflakes program in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. where we're going to invite families, both embryo donors and adopters, to attend. And some of them are going to meet each other for the first time face to face, where the donor and the adoptive family meet each other. So that's quite a testimonial. And when that occurs, sometimes they'll put that onto video and share that story with others. We certainly send that out to our mailing list. And sometimes we get really good media placements where those stories will be told. You know, that's quite a compelling story.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a big family reunion.
Right.
Okay. So what about, is there a number of people that will come back? You know, that they've come, they've adopted embryos, they've given birth, and then decide they would like to have more children, but it needs to be a whole other set of embryos, I guess, is what I'm
Well, if they
for.
Adopted enough embryos in the first place to have them continued in storage, then yes, they'll come back and they'll get a transfer of the same siblings. So that's the best case scenario. And this is really a distinctive that sets us apart from anyone else doing a program similar to embryo adoption. What sets us apart is that we insist on keeping the embryos together. So for instance, at a clinic model rather than an adoption model, it could be that if there's 10 embryos in a set, that clinic will divide all those embryos up to as many as 10 families.
Oh.
And then if you come back and you want to adopt again 4 years later, the siblings to that embryo have already been adopted by 9 other families. And so you won't be getting the embryo siblings. You're going to be then getting 2 unrelated children. Meanwhile, all of those siblings have already been born to other families you don't even know. So that's the very scenario we are trying to prevent, is mm-hmm. slows our program down. Admittedly, we have fewer babies in any given year as a result of not moving the embryos from family to family to family, as you might see occurring in other programs. But we're willing to have a slightly slower rate of childbirth in order to keep those siblings together.
Oh, that makes sense. So there's many, how many organizations do this?
Well, there's a handful of organizations, but the other organization of size, the only other organization that is truly similar to ours in size and in model is called the National Embryo Donation Center in Knoxville, Tennessee. They're a very similar program, very similar size. Best friends to us. We collaborate daily and are excellent friends. They're pro-life minded, pro-family, and they also have... The only difference is that they're not a licensed adoption agency, but they have an adoption model. They are a clinic. So that's where their actual formation is. It's an embryology clinic, but they do a similar program to us because of their faith.
Okay, that makes sense. Makes sense. So what other challenges come up for the Snowflake Adoptive Family?
Well, the Snowflake Adoptive Family has to consider how they're going to tell their child that they were born from embryo adoption and when they're going to do it. So that's certainly one of the first challenges they'll face. And several of our families have actually written children's books that are available on Amazon specifically for the child when they're 2 years old or 3 years old about embryo adoption and comparing like an analogy to a seed and how a seed is born and planted and grows. And so that's a real ministry that some of our families have done to help others have a book they can read to their child to explain to them embryo adoption, because we don't want anyone to have any surprises. You know, right. There's a Netflix movie out right now about some unethical decisions of a fertility specialist that led to a lot of surprises when these kids reached their 20s or 30s and found out where they came from. So we want truth and we want it presented early. There's some challenges that our families don't face, interestingly, that they would in domestic adoption. For instance, they don't have to worry about the birth mom changing her mind, which is a concern in domestic adoption. They also don't have to worry about the prenatal environment, whereas in domestic adoption, you might have to be concerned about drug exposure or alcohol exposure with the birth mom. With embryo adoption, you are the birth mom, so you don't have to worry about that.
Some people that's a good point. Go ahead.
Yeah, some people have raised concerns about what about losing custody if custody is disputed afterward. But as I said earlier, our program's been around for 25 years now. It has never been challenged in court, and our contract is airtight. And furthermore, in all 50 states, the woman who gives birth is the legal mother. That's just the law in all 50 states. So the only way that you could lose custody if you were doing embryo adoption is if there was a written agreement in advance signed and by both parties that you are not the mother. Because it's just the law that when you give birth to a child, you are the mother, unless there's some other document that is a contract that indicates otherwise.
Does that happen where people have that kind of a contract?
Well, that would be surrogacy. So the woman gives birth but has a surrogacy contract in place. Then that contract will supersede the fact that she gave birth to the child because there was a signed surrogacy contract. We don't have surrogacy contracts here because this isn't surrogacy. The woman giving birth is the mother.
It's the mother. I love this. One of the things that you mentioned was if they're over 40, that you recommend more than one embryo be implanted. Is that the right term for
yes,
what we're
that's
doing
right.
here? Okay. All right. So the reason that caught my attention is when we adopted, the year before we adopted, I had called an agency and inquiring about adoption. And the lady asked me one question. She said, how old are you? And when I told her 37, she said, your chances are slim to none that you'll be able to adopt.
Okay.
Okay. A year later, she was the home study person who stood on the on the court and said this was a family that was meant to be. But it still, that was that age thing. So the fact that even over 40, obviously things have changed a lot. And the fact that this is something I think people need to hear. But I think people give up at a certain point, do you?
Yes. Now, our age cutoff for domestic infant adoption and embryo adoption is the same. It's 45 years old. And the reason we have that is actually the same rationale, similar to what you were saying. It's we give our birth mothers and our embryo donors a choice in who they're going to place with. Mm-hmm. Given the choice, an embryo donor and a birth mom are going to choose a married couple over a single, and they're going to choose a family who's under 45 over families over 45. So given that the birth moms always have a choice and the embryo donors have a choice, we want to put families in the program who our donors and birth moms are going to choose.
Excellent. I'm hoping that we're opening eyes out there with our listeners today, and they're thinking of somebody they know who might benefit from a program like this, but didn't know about it until today. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back. We'll talk with Dan about some final thoughts. And I want to talk about some of the benefits of snowflakes. We've covered many, but you have 50 on your website. And then we'll talk about contact information. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Need a speaker for an upcoming event? Mickey Shepherd is ready to speak up. Mickey is the author of In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be. She'll dispel the myths surrounding adoption and teach her audience why it doesn't take biology to create a family. Visit MickeyShepherdAuthor.com or call 845-733-8077 to book Mickey today.
You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
In a Heartbeat, The Miracle of a Family That Was Meant to Be by Mickey Shepherd is a delightful true story spanning several generations of families born out of love. Learn that it doesn't take biology to create a family. Understand that adoption is always a choice. And realize that the law of attraction is constantly at work. Pick up a copy on Amazon today.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You're listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. If you have questions for Mickey or her guest, you can join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now, back to the show. Here again is Mickey Shepherd.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Adoption as a Choice with our guest today, Dan Nurbis, from Northlight Christian Adoption. And we've primarily been talking about snowflake embryo adoptions because it is so fascinating. There's so many possibilities, and yet so many people do not know it exists. For those who may have just joined us, we learned earlier in the call that there's at least 1 million frozen embryos out there. And that brings me to a good question for you, Dan. One of the things that we were talking about on the break was that people want to adopt. One of the things you hear all the time, and we certainly did, although our situation was very different, but is how long they're going to wait.
Sure.
To adopt. So what is that kind of time frame if you're dealing
with
snowflakes?
Most adoption programs do have a waiting period. Our domestic infant program has a waiting list. But with embryo adoption, there actually is no wait list at all. So there is no waiting. There's the work to get through the program. You have to do the home study. There's an education element, verification of your background. You have to create your profile where you're showing who you are so that an embryo donor picks you. And the criteria that you have for the embryo donor, who we should match you with. But once you're match ready, then it's not a waiting or game at all. It's just a matter of us matching you with the right family. So people who join this program, they could be matched within 6 months. allowing for the completion of their home study, their match-ready profile, and being matched. Then, of course, we have to ship the embryos. That takes a little bit of time, and you have to schedule a frozen embryo transfer. Different from other programs, for instance, in international adoption, if you're willing to adopt a child who's photo listed from another country, we call those waiting children, then again, there's no wait for you. We have an expression at Nightlight, why be a waiting family when there's waiting children? And there are waiting children internationally. So there's no wait time for the family if they're going to adopt a waiting child. Nevertheless, there are families in inter-country adoption who are waiting. They're waiting for a blind referral from the central authority of the youngest, healthiest child that they can be referred. So yes, they are waiting for a referral. And then of course, with foster care, the wait time just depends on what your openness is. We don't take applicants for foster care in most states who are interested in children under six, because the wait time would be so long. There's no point in us certifying a family who's then going to expire by the time they would ever get a referral. But if people are open to children who are 9 years old, sibling sets, children with special needs, then there's no wait time at all for foster care.
That's amazing too. We did recently had a couple of different guests and we talked about how many children age out of the foster program each year. And which kind of goes along with what you were just saying, if they're open to at ages above six, chances are they create a forever family.
Right.
Those people. So of the other, if someone, okay, let's pretend someone calls you today and they say, I just heard about the Snowflake Embryo Adoption Program. What would you say to the question, what are the top three benefits of Snowflake adoption?
Okay, well, the first benefit would be the experiencing of childbirth, which I think is something, if it's possible for a woman to do, it's something she'll want to do. The second would be the control of the prenatal environment and not having the birth mom change her mind or losing custody somehow through a dispute. So every adoption has its risk, and people just need to decide which risk they're willing to tolerate. When I help guide people through which adoption is right for me, I always do it by listing the four programs we have, the four risks that they incur, and then asking them, which risk are you okay with? So for instance, domestic adoption, you risk the birth mom changing her mind. Foster care, you risk the court awarding custody to the biological family. International adoption, you risk the country closing down due to war or regime change. So are any of those risks tolerable to you? Same with embryo adoption. What do you risk? Miscarriage. So some people call us and they say, I cannot risk another miscarriage. I've already had four. They were very hard for me. I don't want to risk it again. Okay, we'll put you in our domestic adoption program. But other people say, I can't risk losing custody to the through court. If there's a foster care case, I can't risk the judge awarding custody to another family or to the biological family rather than to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's I think there's a more mature ministry-minded way to address that. But nevertheless, it's a risk some people can't envision taking. Okay, well, let's put you in a different adoption program then.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. We always, growing up, my family always had foster children. And it was always so hard when they left.
Yeah.
It's tough, but we knew it going in and it was part of the commitment.
Right. It's the nature of what you're doing, and you're doing it not for yourself, but for someone else.
Oh, it is. I have a question that I have a feeling people will ask. And we talked about the cost involved with Snowflake adoption. And in a domestic adoption, there's certain costs that are actually for the birth mother. In a Snowflake adoption, is any of that cost money that goes to the donor family?
No, the donor family actually has some expenses through this program that they're so kind to sometimes absorb in order to donate, you know, that they believe in what they're doing. It's a very small cost. It would be a blood test or something like that. We do pay for most of the expenses for the donor family, like the blood test that they'll need. And of course, we pay for the shipping. Sometimes they might need to repay their storage fee for the next year. And then the small cost that a donor family might incur is if we believe those embryos are going to be difficult to place, then sometimes we ask them to make a small fee. So none of the money goes to the donor family, but some of the money goes to expenses the donor family will incur.
That makes sense. What is the blood test for?
Well, this is kind of an outdated, archaic reason, but we can't do anything about it. The FDA considers embryos tissue. And since it's tissue, they expect the donors of the tissue to be tested for a whole host of communicable diseases. What's bizarre, of course, is that embryos don't have diseases. But because it's tissue, that's just the FDA requirement. If there's anything that the government could do to improve this program, increase donation, increase the speed of it, it would be to abandon this archaic requirement that's nonsense.
That's amazing. I just have to get involved. So is anybody working on that? Is that being worked on to try to change?
Well, not that I know of. Although obviously the clinics have a lot to gain as well by getting that change. So we're not alone in addressing that. We're in good company with people who are well-funded who could help address that.
Oh, that's fabulous. Okay. So you are I know you're in California. What are the other states that you represent?
NightLight has offices in Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, Texas, and South Carolina. But we do serve people nationwide with international, domestic, and snowflake adoption.
Okay, if somebody wanted to learn more or get in touch with you or your organization, what should they do?
Well, the first place would be go to nightlight.org. And we call it NightLight because it connotes a warm, safe place for children, a place that's home. And we're lighting people's adoption journey, their path on their adoption journey. So nightlight.org. They could also learn about the Snowflakes program at snowflakes.org or send an email to info@snowflakes.org. And I mentioned the reasons we have called the program Snowflakes, but I'll just point out that we've had the trademark on that term now for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we're the only one with a Snowflakes program because that's our trademark. But of course, we encourage other people to do embryo adoption. You asked earlier, how can people get involved? We need more embryo adoptions happening because we need these embryos rescued.
That's a good point. All right. So there's two websites. So you can go to nightlight.org and you can go to the Snowflake Embryo.
Snowflakes.org.
Which is just phenomenal. I really, really appreciate you being here today. This has been something, as you know, I told you, I've been wanting to share with our listeners for the last few months, because I think it's miraculous. I think it opens up hope and to so many families who would not be aware of this. So we want to keep getting that word out, and we will continue to. I know I keep calling it a family reunion, but the event you're having in July in Colorado Springs, how do people find out about that? Does it have to be somebody who's already donated or already given birth?
No, we'll take prospective families as well. And yes, the information is at snowflakes.org to find out more about that event in Colorado Springs.
And it sounds like Focus on the Family is very involved with you.
They've been a good partner. And we have other good partners as well in the embryo storage, as well as the frozen embryo transfers, because there are people who believe in giving these embryos a chance of life. And of course, giving a low cost option. Not everyone can afford IVF.
Right.
In fact, I used to be a youth pastor, and there was a young man and his wife who were in my youth group. They later got married, experienced fertility issues. and they called us about adoption. I said, you got to try Snowflakes. I went to their baby shower last week. Their baby's going to be born next week from embryo adoption. So it can be a dream come true.
That is so exciting. Dan, thank you again for being here. And thank all of you for listening. We'd like to keep this conversation going. We'd like you to continue to stay in touch either on my website at adoptionasachoice.com or on Twitter or Facebook, wherever you'd like to go. You can find all of that on my website. Pass this on to people you know who might want to listen to it. It's been broadcast live just now, but it will be available 24/7 and they can listen to it at any time at adoptionasachoice.live. So again, I am so grateful for you being here today, Dan, and to all of you for listening in, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Adoption as a Choice with Mickey Shepherd. We hope today's program will help you feel more comfortable making a decision to adopt or making the decision to seek adoption for your own child. We look forward to hearing from you next time. Have a beautiful week.